A coffee roaster died in 1850. His grandson automated the process in 1920. A specialty chain franchised it in 1990. An AI-controlled drum roaster optimizes it in 2026. The value of perfect medium roast has not changed in 300 years. The process has evolved through four technological revolutions. The organization has been rewritten entirely five times. What exactly are we defending when we resist organizational change?
Three things today. First, why organizations are metadata configuration layers, not the thing itself. Second, the stability hierarchy. Value persists for centuries, processes for decades, organizations for years. Third, why AI doesn't replace organizations, it rewrites the metadata. And why that's not a threat unless you've confused yourself with your position in the org chart.
Welcome to the deep dive. We are so excited to have you with us today because we are unpacking a stack of sources that will basically completely dismantle your fundamental misunderstanding of what a company actually is. We're looking at a really brilliant preprint paper on the organization as metadata thesis, along with chapter 9 of the organizational schema theory, or OST, research.
Right.
And our mission for you today is to give you the ultimate mental model for navigating AI-driven business change.
It is a really profound shift in perspective.
Yeah.
I mean, we spend a tremendous amount of our professional lives agonizing over restructurings, reporting lines, the survival of our specific departments, you know. But this research forces us to step back and ask structurally, what is actually surviving the test of time?
Okay, so let's unpack this. We opened with that incredible timeline of the coffee roaster. We went from a guy turning beans over an open fire in 1850 to like an AI-controlled sensory drum roaster in 2026. Can you paint a picture for us of how this business architecture actually works? Because the research suggests we focus almost all of our workplace anxiety on totally the wrong things.
I can, yeah. And to do it, I want you to visualize a specific diagram from the OST research. So imagine a vertical stack made up of three distinct horizontal bands.
Okay, so I'm picturing like a three-layer cake.
Exactly, keep that image. The top band is labeled value. It is colored solid gold. This layer represents centuries. It's heavy, it's solid, and it's completely immovable. In our coffee example, the value is the perfect medium roast, you know, that specific caramel sweetness with zero bitterness.
Right, the actual sensory experience of the coffee.
Yes. That physical chemical goal has not changed in 300 years. The customer from 1850 and the customer from 2026 want the exact same value.
So the top layer is the ultimate outcome. What sits below that?
The middle band is labeled process. It's colored a deep blue. It's firm. But if you look closely, you can see evolution marks at the edges. Process persists for decades. This is the roasting chemistry, the thermodynamics, the extraction parameters.
So that's the how.
Right, exactly. It evolves as technology changes from fire to steam to electricity to advanced sensors, but the core mechanics remain entirely recognizable.
Okay, and then we get to the bottom layer, the part that causes all the headaches.
The bottom band is labeled organization, and this one is visually very different from the other two. It's colored gray, and instead of a solid box, it has a dotted outline. It represents a lifespan of merely years. The dotted line suggests that this entire gray box can simply be lifted up and replaced entirely without breaking the process or value bands above it.
Okay, wait, I have to push back here. So that gray dotted box is the guild, the factory, the corporate franchise, the digital platform. But you're saying the organization is highly volatile, just a dotted line. But without the organization, the process doesn't run, right? I mean, the people inside that gray box are the ones executing the process. How can you separate the two and call the organization highly replaceable?
Well, that is the core illusion the research dismantles. We mistake the actors for the script.
Okay, explain that.
The people are the actors. The organization is merely the script dictating how they interact. The research makes a definitive structural claim, and it's this: value persists for centuries. Processes persist for decades. Organizations are rewritten every few years. If you're defending your organizational structure, you are defending the single most volatile layer in the entire hierarchy.
Oh, wow. So you could just swap it out.
Exactly. You can fire the franchise management team and replace them with a decentralized co-op. And the process of roasting the coffee continues seamlessly.
So we basically mistake the vessel for the value. We look at an org chart, we see our name in a little square box, and we internalize the idea that the structure is the company.
Yes. And that leads us to a concept that completely redefines corporate structure. Because if the organization isn't the value and it isn't the process, what actually is it? The research argues that the organization is literally metadata. And they are very careful to note that this is not a metaphor. It is a literal architectural reality.
Okay, let me try an analogy here to see if I'm tracking the mechanics of this. So in computing, If I have a massive customer database, there is the actual data, the names, the purchase histories, the phone numbers, that's the core value.
Right.
And then there is the database schema, the metadata. The schema just describes how the data is structured. It says, route the first name to this column, route the zip code to that column. The schema isn't the data itself, it's just the configuration file.
That is the perfect way to understand it. An organization is a configuration layer. It describes who does what under what constraints without actually being the work itself. The organization doesn't roast the coffee. The process roasts the coffee.
Mm.
The organization just dictates whether a full-time W-2 employee, a contracted vendor, or an automated system pushes the button on the machine.
And who signs the approval for the raw bean purchase?
Exactly. The organization is not the value. The organization is the configuration layer.
That is huge.
Which brings us to a foundational concept in organizational schema theory called organizational metamerism.
Organizational metamerism. Break down how that actually works in practice.
Sure. So metamerism simply means that structurally distinct organizational configurations can produce functionally identical value outputs.
Okay, so going back to our coffee chains, let's say we have chain A and chain B. Chain A uses a really highly centralized corporate training program. Every single barista flies to a corporate campus for a 2-week intensive. All decisions come from the top down.
Right. Highly structured metadata. And chain B uses a totally decentralized autonomous model. They give local store managers a budget and complete freedom to train their staff however they see fit using local community standards. Two totally different organizational schemas, entirely different metadata.
But to the customer, what the research calls the observer cohort, when they walk in off the street and order a cappuccino, the outcome is indistinguishable. The cup of coffee is equally hot, equally fast, and tastes exactly the same.
That is organizational minimalism. Different organizational structures can deliver identical value. And recognizing this is incredibly liberating for a business. It means you aren't locked into a specific management hierarchy. If your franchise model is failing, you can completely rewrite the configuration file of the metadata without ever risking the quality of the cappuccino.
Okay, but this raises a massive red flag in my mind. If multiple schemas can produce the exact same result, and the organization is just a configuration file, how do we know if the configuration is actually the right one? How do we know it's efficiently delivering the value rather than just generating busy work?
You've just hit on the most critical vulnerability in modern business design. We assume our org charts work simply because everyone looks busy. But the research points out a glaring omission in how we build companies. And I want to frame this exactly as the OST framework defines it, because it is the entire crux of their thesis. Organizations are the only complex designed artifacts that lack formal acceptance, testing a construct independently developed in engineering, medicine, accounting, law, and software. OST identifies this gap.
Wait, I need to challenge that. We don't have acceptance testing. What about annual ISO 9001 audits? What about quarterly KPIs? Aren't those tests?
This raises an important question about what we're actually measuring. Think about it. Engineers test bridges with heavy load tolerances before they open them to public traffic. Doctors test new treatments against rigid clinical endpoints. Software teams write rigorous test suites for their code to ensure it behaves correctly under stress. But nobody formally tests whether an organizational structure actually delivers what it promised to the customer.
But if an auditor comes into a factory, they spend a week checking the processes, they have a clipboard, they are checking off boxes.
They are checking implementation, not acceptance criteria. Audits check if people follow the documented procedures. They do not check if that procedure actually satisfies the customer's requirement.
Oh, wow.
You can have a perfectly executed procedure, pass your audit with flying colors, and still deliver a product the customer completely hates. You prove that the employee followed the rules. You didn't prove that the rules create value.
That is a terrifying blind spot for any executive listening right now. So how does the research propose we fix it?
By drawing evidence from software engineering. What organizations need is an acceptance testing cascade. The concept is straightforward, but radical in execution. You must define the customer acceptance test first. The framework calls this level zero.
Level zero. So what does that look like mechanically?
Level zero is the exact moment the value is realized by the end user.
Mm.
If we stick to our coffee shop, the level zero test isn't did the barista smile. The level zero test is the customer receives a perfectly extracted cappuccino at 150 degrees Fahrenheit within 3 minutes of ordering. You define that test rigidly, and then you trace backward.
I see where this is going. You trace every single process, every procedure, and every organizational role backward from that specific 3-minute hot cappuccino test.
Exactly. You ask, does the barista's workflow directly help pass this test?
Yeah.
Yes, trace back further. Does the supply chain manager's bean sourcing protocol help pass this test? Yes. Trace back further. Does the regional vice president of synergistic marketing help pass this test?
And if the answer is no, if you can't trace a direct logical line from a role back to passing that level zero testament,
then that role or that department is what the framework calls specification waste. It is just sitting in the metadata, consuming resources, generating internal friction, but completely disconnected from the value band at the top of our hierarchy. You design the test first, then you configure the metadata to pass the test.
This brings us to the most urgent part of the research. We've established that the organization is just a gray dotted box of untested metadata, and we know that coordination is basically the only reason that metadata exists. So we have a massive structural vulnerability the moment a technology comes along that can optimize that metadata faster and cheaper than humans can. Enter AI.
Yeah, and if we connect this to the broader historical picture, we have to look at the economist Ronald Coase. In 1937, Coase published a groundbreaking theory on the nature of the firm. He asked a seemingly simple question, why do companies exist at all? Why doesn't the global economy just operate as a massive open market of independent contractors?
Because the transaction cost would be a nightmare. I mean, imagine if every single time a company needed a graphic design or a floor mopped or a line of code written, they had to go to the open market, find a vendor, negotiate a temporary contract, set legal terms, figure out a payment schedule. The friction would just bring business to a halt.
That is the genius of Coase's theory. He proved that firms form because internal coordination costs less than market transactions. The boundary of a company, how big it gets, how many people it hires, is determined entirely by the cost of coordinating the work. It is cheaper to hire an in-house graphic designer and pay them a salary than it is to negotiate 50 separate external contracts a year.
So the organization, the metadata, grows to absorb those coordination costs.
Yes. And historically, as coordination gets easier due to technology, the metadata changes. The schema migrates. We went from the artisan guild, where coordination was highly localized, to the factory system, to the massive multinational corporation, and recently to the platform economy, like Uber or Airbnb. Each transition was a schema migration driven by a drop in coordination costs.
So looking back at our visual diagram, the vertical stack with value, process, and organization, the research paper highlights an arrow pointing directly at the bottom gray band. And the arrow is labeled AI compresses.
Right. The gray band is getting thinner. It's not disappearing completely, but it is radically compressing.
Here's where it gets really interesting. AI doesn't replace the process. The coffee beans still need the exact same roasting thermodynamics. A physical good still needs to be moved from point A to point B. The gold value band doesn't change. What AI does is absorb the coordination overhead.
The administrative routing logic. The tasks that historically required a middle manager to read an email, process the information, check a schedule, and coordinate a handoff between two separate departments, the coordination now routes instantly through an AI agent.
The friction of internal transaction costs drops to near zero.
And this isn't a futurist prediction for the 2030s. The research stresses that this is happening right now in 2026. We are watching two distinct corporate realities unfold. Companies that wrote their specifications intentionally, the ones who mapped out their acceptance testing cascade and know exactly what their metadata is supposed to do, are using AI to rewrite their metadata deliberately. They're aggressively thinning out that gray band, eliminating specification waste and becoming incredibly efficient.
And the companies that didn't do the homework, the ones where the process isn't formally tested and only exists implicitly as tribal knowledge floating around in the heads of their management team,
they're discovering that the metadata is being rewritten for them by market forces. And it is incredibly chaotic. Because AI doesn't replace organizations, it rewrites the metadata. And if you don't know what your metadata is supposed to achieve, an algorithmic optimization will tear your company apart.
Which brings us to the human element of all this. Because we can talk about schemas and metadata and transaction costs all day. But if AI is simply updating a configuration file, thinning out a dotted box on an org chart, why does the human reaction to this feel so incredibly visceral? When a restructuring is announced, it feels deeply existential to the people inside the building.
It's because of how we construct our professional identities. Resistance to AI-driven change or any major restructuring is rarely just a cultural problem or a lack of emotional intelligence. The OST framework diagnoses this as a structural problem. People identify with their position in the schema rather than the value they help create.
There is an anecdote in the sources that perfectly captures this, and I want to slow down and really look at it. It's about a Russian shop floor worker during a major corporate equipment transfer.
Oh, yeah. It is a remarkable illustration of the psychology of metadata.
So a manufacturing plant was moving an entire production line from Russia to India. The value output, the actual manufactured good, needed to move geographically to stay competitive. The physical machines, the process, had to be boxed up and shipped. And as they are moving the equipment, this Russian worker physically blocks the crew, yelling, "That's my machine!"
The conflict there is fascinating because of what he was actually defending.
Right. Because according to the case study, he wasn't even defending his employment. Management had already offered him a different, arguably better role within the facility. He wasn't going to lose his paycheck, yet he was ready to fight over this piece of metal. Why? Because to him, his entire professional identity, his worth, his daily routine, his understanding of his place in the world was mapped to a specific node in a schema that was about to be deleted.
Exactly. The value needed to move. The organizational metadata had to travel with it to India. But to him, the configuration file was his identity. Resistance to AI is often resistance to metadata rewriting. When someone fights an AI integration in their department, they usually aren't making a logical argument that the AI will produce a worse outcome for the customer. They're arguing that the new configuration doesn't have a box with their name on it in the exact same place. They are defending the gray band.
You're not defending your job. You're defending your position in a schema that's about to be rewritten. I mean, that is a tough pill to swallow for anyone who has spent 10 years climbing the corporate ladder to reach a specific title.
It is deeply uncomfortable. But the research offers a highly practical diagnostic tool to cut through this anxiety. A direct takeaway for anyone listening who might be facing a reorganization right now, whether it's AI-driven or not. Before your company begins any restructuring, you need to force leadership to answer one specific question.
So instead of asking who reports to who or what's my new title, what should we be asking?
What is the acceptance test that this new structure must pass?
Meaning, show me the level zero customer outcome. Prove to me that this new org chart directly satisfies the customer better than the old one.
Precisely. If leadership cannot answer that question in one clear sentence, if they can't trace the new structure back to a specific acceptance test, then the restructuring is not based on a specification requirement. It is just a preference for a different schema. It's a new executive moving the metadata around for the sake of feeling in control. And that kind of untested schema migration is a recipe for organizational failure.
So what does this all mean for you, the listener? As we wrap this up, I want to leave you with a final thought to really mull over regarding your own career. Think about the daily friction you experience at work, the turf wars, the budget battles, the anxiety over the new software implementation. If your organization is just a highly volatile configuration file, a gray dotted box that the market will inevitably swap out every few years, are you making the mistake of building your entire professional identity around a temporary node on a chart? Or are you investing your energy into mastering the process and the value? Because as we've learned today, those are the only layers that actually survive technological revolutions. Be the value, not the metadata.
The research behind this is organizational schema theory, available as a preprint on Zenodo, with a working implementation at orgschema.com. There are 20-plus research papers on Zenodo covering the full framework.
Episode E12 goes deeper on what the org chart actually hides and what a specification cascade reveals that reporting lines cannot.
Episode EOST1 is for operations leaders specifically, how continuous certification and contract procedure separation work in practice.
Just remember, whether it's an iron skillet over an open fire in 1850 or a fully automated AI agent running logistics in 2026, the perfect medium roast stays exactly the same. The question is, are you tending the fire or are you just guarding the org chart? Thanks for joining us.